to give us more perspective on yesterday's presidential speech. I'm glad to be joined in the studio by Professor Abraham Kwol Nyon, who is a professor at the University of Juba. And also we have online a civil society activist, Lona Merikajem. Professor, good morning, and it's good to have you on the Miraya Breakfast Show as usual.
Good morning. Thank you very much. My pleasure.
Yes. And also on the line, Lona Merikajem, it's good to have you on the program.
Thank you very much, baby.
Yes, and you both have heard the president's speech yesterday during the press briefing. First of all, let's start with you, Professor Abraham, in the studio with me here. What did you pick from this particular speech?
Well, thank you very much, Sir William, and the Miraya Radio that has hosted me this morning. Yesterday's speech is seen to be the beginning of how democracy is supposed to be enhanced in the Republic of South Sudan, because of the last mostly 1 week, you have seen a number of release or press release from the government, and that is SPLF-IO. This is an aspect of the beginning of the freedom of expression that had never been there before. And as a result of this, from the president's speech, there are a few things that came out very clearly. Mm-hmm. That the president has acknowledged that it is the only peace agreement that is the beginning of the legitimacy of the East government. And as a result of that, the speech has indicated that without the peace agreement, then there is no government. Secondly, there is the president also acknowledged the fact that if we were to progress, then we have to be honest on how we should be able to handle issues. This means that probably the president might have realized for the business of the government had never been honest for a number of years. And as a result of this, it is trying to say that mostly there are a number of leaders within his government and also from the opposition who had been having personal ambition that has been dragging the country on its feet for a long. And as a result of this, he said this has related to the atrocities that the government has accepted, that atrocities has happened. And because atrocities has happened and had been committed in 2013 and 2016, then he is supposed to ask for those things to be built. Those atrocities has got to view, according to the president's speech. Mm-hmm. They have the international dynamics of how they view it, like mostly the Commission of Inquiry by African Union. And then they had the domestic view that was led by the Ministry of Justice. And the only big problem here is that the citizens of South Sudan don't have that as a public document to understand where the issues had been.
All right, Professor, we'll go through some of these as we continue, of course, with the program. Let's get also very quickly a view from Lona Merikajem. Lona, you had the president's speech yesterday. And before the press briefing, there was a lot of speculation among citizens, especially on the implementation of the peace agreement. Others were worried that there's been deployment in Juba, there's been tension. Do you think with the president coming out, actually this has cleared the air and had made some things a little much better for the citizens?
Well, thank you very much, Sebit. I must say that, one, the step for president to come out and address the nation is a very important process. And as Abraham says, this is how things are supposed to happen. I know in this country there are several occasions where the country is in confusion and citizens are panicking, but then the leadership is quiet. So I think, number one, the act of speaking to the nation is very important, and I hope it will continue. It should not just be out of panic.
All right.
And that also applies to the leader of IO, because I saw statements coming out from IO. On face value, very good move. But then when we look into the statement, there are a few things that I read out of the statement, Sebit.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start from the president's statement. One is that the country is in panic. We do not need a broad statement where you're going to talk about flood, you're talking about the need for what. That broad statement was not necessary. As citizens, we needed specific direction. What is happening? What is the way forward? And what should we do as citizens? I did not get what should we do as citizens.
Mm-hmm. All right.
The other thing that I got from the statement is the honesty, and this applies to the press statement that was sent by leader of the opposition, the first vice president, and the president. The honesty, the acknowledgement that this the crisis in the country, the two events of 2013 and 2016, has high human cost. And I'm glad they're acknowledging it, because we've been talking about the human rights violations in this country. So now we are all on the same page. There is human rights violation in this country. However, the question is, what is their plan to address this human rights violation? Seeing it from an activist perspective and a civil society, we are seeing that the problem in this country, lack of implementation of the argument, is lack of political will from all the political actors.
All right.
Because
yes,
there are a few things that should have been implemented. Just a minute.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
There are a few things that could have been implemented if only they had political will. And some of this, if you read deeper into these statements, they're basically calling on international community to intervene. My question is, have they called on citizens to give their perspective? Because last I checked, the over 12 million South Sudanese think differently, and we've seen example in the National Dialogue document, which is not out. Thank you. Over to you.
All right. I'm going to come back to you, Lorna, but let's pick it from there. Abraham, what Lorna just said there, that the president spoke on broad things, you know, not very specific things, like, you know, this is the problem right now we are facing, this is the solution, and of course, this is what we expected the citizens to come in as well and participate. And you did acknowledge earlier and saying this is the beginning of democracy. This is a good thing because there were complaints, there were letters that were released, there was a lot. Do you think that in the spirit of moving forward and in the spirit of actually democracy, these two leaders could have done, or it could have carried a lot of weight if the two could have come together and issued joint press statements and address the media, both of them, so people know, well, there's no tension behind the curtains. There were people, of course, there were letters that were released, there were press releases, but they want to work together. Do you think the citizens want to see these people together addressing them?
Thank you very much. And Savid William, once more. I have said that probably you have seen a number of maybe press statements being released from both sides for this week. And one of the good things from this speech is that the president acknowledged the resolutions of the IO Political Bureau as the good way of doing things. And that is something that we have never had the government doing that for a number of years. And secondly, all the Lorna has said is true. In fact, what the citizens were expecting from this press release or from this press conference was that these rumors of deploying the soldiers around mostly within Ayer Marad and mostly within the first vice president office was based on a number of these issues, and this is how we are supposed to handle this thing. This is what people were expecting. And you see, people learn from history. At this specific point, when people understand that there's a tension, it is not advisable for the first vice president and the president to have a press conference together. Why? Because both of them affirm that they will never go to the war, but they are not sure of the bodyguards. Remember, the 2016 incident was triggered by the bodyguard when they were peacefully in the meeting.
Inside.
Mm-hmm. So the same scenario would happen if both of them were to come together and there is heavy security. That is from both sides. That could be a trigger that could be able to take the country back to the war.
Okay.
And as a result of this, it is good that if they want this country to move ahead, it is good that probably they need to go and outside, especially because remember they were supposed to go to Kampala recently. This is the right time now that the tension has begun and peace agreement is come to elapse. Instead of this peace agreement to collapse, both the president and the best by president will not be legitimate, and both of them will not have no power.
Great. And yes, as you did mention, they're supposed to come talk about the security and all this deployment. The president answered that question actually in the question session by the journalist, where he said that the deployment is something that, you know, is not for war. The deployment particularly is because there are criminals in Juba that are within the residential places, so this is to prevent criminals from going to begin shooting in these high places, and that will escalate tension. And people will say that probably if it is near the residential place of Dr. Riek Machar, maybe his people are the one who shot those guns, and it will cause problem. That's why there was a deployment there. I just want to bring that, which is not in the press release, if you read the press release, but that was actually in the question session where the president answered that. Lona, the president said he is ready for dialogue to address concerns raised by the SPLA-IO. Does that inspire enough hope for the implementation of the agreement going forward?
Well, thank you very much, David. I think the willingness to have dialogue with IO is a very good thing. And again, I want to say it's long overdue. And one of the things that I clearly see, and I would want to mention this, and as an advice to the leadership of this country, is that one, what outsiders are doing to us is a favor. And when a favor is offered, seize the opportunity. It's not up to us to say we don't want it today, but then tomorrow we start hitting ourselves and we are screaming loud and calling outsiders to come in. Last I remember, as Abraham said, there is an offer for retreat. They too have to talk. And the space for that conversation is that retreat which is being offered by Uganda as part of IGAD and part of the guarantors. I think it's important for them to seize that opportunity. And number two is that definitely the importance of dialogue among the two parties, the two principles cannot be underrated, but they should include their guys, the people who are behind them. Because Abraham raised a very important point. The question of the two, in this context where there is tension, the two cannot come and address the country together. Mm-hmm. That we take the presidency is one institution. If the presidency does not have the confidence to come, if two members of the presidency cannot come together because they fear their followers may react differently, then it brings me to the question of where is reunification of the forces? Where is professionalization of the security forces? Because we expect that when there is good command chain, command and control, then these people will take instruction. They will not just start fighting on their own. Mm-hmm. So I think there are bigger issues that this situation has revealed to us as a country, and it's important that we pay serious attention to all this that is happening around us. The complexity is just too much. Yeah.
All right. Yes, Lona, you mentioned about the forces, and we'll talk about that shortly here in the program. But just before I come back to Abraham here in the studio with me, do you think government could have avoided this stalemate with the SPLA-IO that could have not even come to all the release of these statements? Do you think something could have been done before it got to this one here?
Yes, it could have been avoided, say, right from the time the agreement was signed. It's unfortunate that the same people who appended their signature to the agreement tend to say that the agreement is complex. And we who are reading the agreement from outside, we think it can be done with the required political will.
All right, let's... Go ahead.
These things that are being talked about could have been done, and it can still be done, because to implement an agreement, it requires continuous dialogue and continuous consensus building and continuous trust building. That has not happened among my leaders. And I think this needs to happen, starting from today henceforth. Because if it doesn't happen, I will say this without fear of contradiction, they are going to drag the country back to crisis, and as they have already acknowledged, the human cost of such conflict is just too high. Already now, the country is paying, the citizens are suffering, because focus is not on people's welfare, but focus is only on tension among the parties.
All right.
That needs to be addressed. And some of these things we have seen. When people are crossing from one party to the other, that crossing is often encouraged, maybe. And people don't cross for free. So can the principle discourage that crossover?
All right, thank you. Thank you so much, Lorna. And yes, let's come to Abraham. Abraham, Lorna mentioned about the forces, and yesterday in the president's speech, he hinted on the main challenge facing the unification of forces, saying that the other parties have come with very senior members, that they gave the ranks. He's not justifying the rank. He said those ranks some of these army officers should not be having those ranks. And he said he had asked his colleagues to reduce and, you know, let these people bring down the ranks and all that so they can be able to reunify the army. And he said the other parties did not do that. With this issue of now, you know, the reunification and also coming in with different ranks and from the biggest, the seniors and the lowest, how could this best be resolved? I mean, what way? Because this is now an installment from one of the questions that was raised to the president yesterday.
Yeah, thank you very much. You know, Savid William, the issue of the hierarchy of the army and the military is a very simple concept, and it is something that is it has its own organization. Mm-hmm. And the inflations of rank across South Sudan here is not only for opposition, it is even for the government. The only institution that I see intact somehow in South Sudan is the national security. Mm-hmm. which is following the current conventional military rules and regulations. Now, if they want to forget and if they want to solve this kind of inflation of the rank, mm-hmm. it doesn't only need the IO or the SAW. It only need the signatories of the peace agreement, including the SSPDF. You know, in the military setup, there is every unit has got a leader that has got a certain rank. Mm-hmm. And that is what they need to do. For example, if they are saying that the security arrangement is 50-50, so the 50 that is coming from the government need to come organized following the military norms. Mm-hmm. The same to opposition, they need to come organized following the military norm. So it is the opposition that will reduce their own rank by putting them into the system. Let's say, if you are talking about COI or battalion, whatever, or brigade, it has got a certain rank of maybe an officer that is supposed to head that. So what they need to go to the drawing board and try to go back to the basic of the military of saying, if you bring 1,000 soldiers, for example, they know who should be the head of 1,000 soldiers. Mm-hmm. It's a simple answer. Mm-hmm. So if you are bringing any higher rank than that, then that is not acceptable. And this need to begin by enacting the right law, like the SPLA Act, that need to be reviewed, and that should be the basis of them doing the reunification of the army.
Great. And Lorna, let's talk to you about one of the things that the president did mention yesterday in his briefing, is that he directed the National Security Bureau to declassify information related to the genesis of the war in South Sudan. What do you take of this? Because he said, for us to get genuine peace in this country, we need to get into the root causes or the genesis of the war. Now, he said, of course, there's intel, or rather information, that the national security need to declassify. And after that, and also, I need to put this clear, as he did mention that, he said this is just for the citizens to know, but those who will be implicated will have a presidential pardon, a full presidential pardon. What do you take of that president's remark there?
Well, that was a very interesting remark. And when I heard it, the first thing in my mind was, what's happening? Are we starting the truth, healing and reconciliation process? But then, is that how we should start it? Because these are very thorny issues. They know. And the political actors in this country, as they listen to me, they know what they have said against each other. They know what they have planned against each other. Releasing that information at this point, when we don't have the factors for truth, healing and reconciliation in place, what does it mean to the country? One is that it will bring a sense of vulnerability, even if there's presidential pardon. Mm-hmm. And if anybody is implicated in that, their spirit is going to be different. Number two is that bringing that information out right now, then what do we do with it? is also something that we need to plan as a nation. So for me, I think, well, that's okay. I want to take it that we are starting the process of truth, healing, and reconciliation. But the question is, it should be within a mechanism that does not cause more crisis. It should not be a process that the document is released out and then people start saying A and B are the ones who did this, and then it brews more conflict among the people. We have to be very careful. This is a double-edged sword.
All right.
And the context within which it's being released might cause more problem in this country.
Yes. Abraham, you'd like to add on that briefly, please.
Yeah, thank you very much. I will differ a little bit with my sister, Lorna.
Mm-hmm.
That if this report is released, it is going to cause more problem. I strongly believe, and all of us as South Sudanese understand, that people have committed these atrocities unknown, and most of them have already done before, and they got presidential pardon, and they are working very free people in Juba here. They are working very free people in the villages. So the only things that I will not be able to agree with, especially with most releasing that thing and just leave it like that, is if the president, because you know now the president has got outlined two things.
Mm-hmm.
He won Truth and Reconciliation Commission promoted, but hybrid court not promoted, mm-hmm. not from his speech. Yeah, and this yeah. means in a state of hybrid court, the president is proposing the presidential pardon. And as a result of this, what need to be done, if the president was sincere with the people that are working with him, this information need to be released. People pardon. But the rules put in, the policy put into it, that anybody henceforth that is going to commit another crime like this, then this person is going to be punished. And the president need to take lead by punishing the top leaders within this country, by being responsible and taking the spirit of being the leader, the one who is in charge of this country.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. There were reports before, we have the Obasanjo report that also looked into the atrocities in South Sudan. They came out with these. We have United Nations human rights reports and all that. During the crisis from 2013 up to now, we have seen quite a number of reports that have been released. How different is this intel going to be anyway?
Well, you could see into it that the president has said in his speech that the information that is from AU Commission, the Obasanjo report, and probably maybe the human rights commissions from the UN
and the justice system here,
they have maybe different information than what was done by the Minister of Justice. That means what was done by the Minister of Justice might be exactly the opposite of the other one. But the facts remain that all these will need to be harmonized. In fact, the president, before removing, using that farm and the national security, all the report need to be harmonized so that they come up with a position that is acceptable, not only to the government, but to the revitalized government of national unity. And this means this one need also to be overseen. Other parties need to be involved. Not only need not to be done by the SPLM alone, okay? SPLM IO, SPLM IT Gono, and the SOAR, all of them need to be involved so that when the report is released, it has to be the position of the whole government.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And exactly, that's what someone will be wondering as a citizen of this country. You will be thinking, how, I mean, is this report not going to be biased just to try to sidelane someone going forward in the implementation of the peace agreement? Because the president said, and he said clearly, that the citizens of South Sudan need to know the genesis and what really caused the conflict in the country.
And this is what we are saying, for us to know the genesis and not knowing how this genesis has affected so many people and what will be done with those people is the question here.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why I'm saying, for it not to be biased, for it not to be taken as if it is one party position, like the way the government think that the UN position, the AU position are different, the president need to involve all the parties to the peace agreement, so that now, because they're the one who are partners and who are part of and parcel of the whole conflict. And great. This is how this thing can be solved.
All right, great. Let's get back to Lorna. Lorna, could you like to add something briefly on this before we move forward?
Yes, I want to emphasize the importance of timing in releasing this information. Yes, Dr. Abraham, you're right. The information needs to be consolidated, because what Obasanjo released, I know there's fact in it. The other report, I know there's fact in it, but the fact needs to be harmonized. And that's why I talked about the timing and the framework within which that is being released. Because as Abraham, you have raised, when that is released, then what next? If only we had the Truth, Healing and Reconciliation Commission in place, it will be released within that framework. And mind you, releasing this information is also going to point to witnesses to this information. Do we have witness protection in place? We don't have witness protection mechanism in place. What do we do with the witness? Number two is that there are people who will be implicated and they will suspect other people. And number three, yes, I appreciate the presidential pardon that is in the powers of the president. But we need to implement the agreement. We need the hybrid court in place. So releasing this report, actually we should think about starting the process of establishing the hybrid court and all the other mechanisms, then release the report. I would say that is a very good move. And the report needs to bring all the perspectives in place.
And yes, if you hear the president's speech, of course you had the president's speech, that's why we're talking about it now. What he said at one point is emphasizing on peace and not justice immediately. So looking at peace and not justice, do you think these two, which one should really South Sudanese value most? Of course, if you go to the streets of South Sudan now and ask people, much as they are very bitter, I think many people will say, you know what, we just want to get done with this. We want peace in the country. But in how important are these two to really, you know, work together? How do we intend to make these two work?
David, I thank you very much. The agreement acknowledges that we are over 12 million citizens in this country. There's a group that would want reparation or compensation, and they are fine with the rest of the things. They have forgiven everybody, and the reparation could be in terms of a memorial, could be in terms of a school or a hospital. It depends on what they choose, and I hope they'd be allowed to choose. There's a certain group that just want a confession and want those who are responsible or culpable for those atrocities to just ask for forgiveness from a very genuine place. There's a group that would want justice process, a due process should be taken, and these people should be accountable for their action. Because we don't want a situation where people commit huge atrocities and they are left just like that. And, well, I agree that, yes, the president as head of state has chosen to forgive, release information and forgive. How about the rest of the over 12 million South Sudanese? Is that all what they want? We need to take into consideration their opinion as well and their feelings, because they are what makes a country. If they are not at peace, they will start hostility among themselves based on some of this information.
All right.
And I think this is a very critical thing that may break this country if it's not handled carefully. Because the heinous acts of violation that we have seen through this process, sometimes it's like it takes time for a community to process before they reach a point of saying either we are forgiving this person or we want to see justice served on behalf of our people.
All right.
And forgiveness cannot be decided in one day. It's a process. So we need to go through that process as a country.
All right, let's get the views of Abraham on that. Abraham, what would you say?
Well, as Lorna as really says that here we have justice against peace. And what I would say is currently as we speak, both of them are in fact definitely needed by the people of South Sudan. But the only thing is that how do we prioritize? And this means which come first. You know, if justice is supposed to promote violence, then most people from South Sudan will say no to that justice currently. We need to be able to stabilize the country, and out of the stability that has come within the country, then justice will be promoted. So in this sense, what comes first is how do the current signatories of the peace agreement work together to create harmony among themselves and among the people of South Sudan. And as a result of that, then justice will be automatic.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right. Let's talk about also the president in his early statements. The president also called for the collaboration with stakeholders on matters to do with human rights violations. And that's still we're talking about the justice. How would you like to see this, especially on human rights violations?
Well, you see it into it that the parties across the board might have been maybe part and parcel of maybe human rights violation one way or another. And because, you know, when you are part of the war, it is very difficult for you to be very completely 100% cleaned. Mm-hmm. And as a result of this, the president call is accepted. But my problem is, as Lona has said, some of this thing has already been highlighted also in the national dialogue. Mm-hmm. So if the president is asking for justice and for promotion of human rights, people have to begin by trying to implement some of the resolution from the national dialogue. Mm-hmm. And the president need to sit with his team at the presidency through the Council of Ministers and the National Legislative Assembly that is existing for this country to move ahead.
All right. And yes, Lona, I would like you to mention, because this is something from the from deep from your heart. You normally, of course, advocate for human rights, respect for human rights in the country. You have been looking at all this. And of course, there's been a lot of atrocities. We all agree that has been done with a lot of impunity over the years during this crisis. The president coming out to talk about human rights and ready to work or collaborate with stakeholders on matters of human rights, what does that say moving forward?
I think that gives an opportunity, and that is commendable. I must say that it's commendable that the president talked about collaboration with stakeholders. And on behalf of citizens, we are stakeholders. Our perspective should be considered. Number two is that we need to have the necessary reforms that have been mentioned in the argument implemented. Mm-hmm. Because if you talk about human rights issues, you want to see a strong judicial system in the country. We have not started doing the reforms that were supposed to be done in the judicial system in this country. We need to start that. Number three is that we have institutions like Human Rights Commission. How strong are those institutions? And I think acknowledgement from the president that we need stakeholders, collaboration among the stakeholders, should be able now to bring those institutions in the center stage and empower the institutions to be able to do their work. But if we don't empower the institutions to do their work, actually, we will be perpetrating yet another level of human rights violation. And I think it's important for us to guard against that as a country.
All
enough
right.
has happened, and we shouldn't take ourselves into causing second, third level human rights violations.
All right. As we come to the conclusion of this particular program, Abraham, the next few weeks are going to be very, very crucial, of course, if we are to see progress on the peace agreement. Now, from the president's speech, he mentioned and talked, but he did not say immediately their next move immediately, after yesterday. So according to you, what do you think now should be the priority areas to get us moving forward?
Thank you very much. You know, the country is at the verge of either stabilizing or returning back to war at this specific critical moment. And any single mistake that has to be done by leadership is going to be creating more problems.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what should be done at this specific time? With the tensions that has come throughout last week and even this week has just begun.
Mm-hmm.
And now it has slowed down through the press release from the first by president and the press conference by the president. What need to be done is the president and the first by president to take note of their security details.
Mm-hmm.
This means they need to call an internal meeting with their bodyguards and brief them and tell them that if any of you is going to pull the trigger this time around, you will be held responsible.
Mm-hmm.
And this message need to be sent very clearly to the bodyguards of the presidency, either the first vice president or the president. Secondly, the president and the first vice president need to have a phone conversation, a telephone call,
mm-hmm.
in the sense that telling my brother, this thing that had happened here, they were just a normal thing, and then now we know that we have brought this country very far from the time of liberation up to now, and we need to exit this country out of the transition.
Mm-hmm.
And this means we need to come up with the modalities of how to give hope to the people of South Sudan that both of them or both of us agree that we are not returning the country to war. So if there are indicators that are trying to take us back to the war, those are the things that the president and the first vice president need to look at.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, Lona, what do you think should be the priorities moving forward?
Well, I think the priority moving forward is that we need the leadership of this country and the presidency, as Dr. Abraham said, needs to have a conversation. And this conversation should not, I'll differ a bit with Abraham, it's not them talking to the leadership of their bodyguard, but it's them building institution and empowering the commanders of the forces. I want to assume that, I want to imagine that we are heading towards a country where we don't have two armies. This is an opportunity to start reunification and professionalization of the army. And I want to remind them of something that they know very well. When we talk about security arrangements and when we talk about security details, we are talking about that kind of organization that facilitates security without necessarily the top leadership intervening. So can they check and start checking the immediate command around them? What is the slogan within that command which propels the forces to protect them? However, I would want to say that the act or the specific action of speaking to the nation is a very important one. This should continue. Actually, we should have this happen more regularly right now in the country's attention,
right,
so that it restores confidence and trust among the people. And to them, they should seize the opportunity of the retreat and be able to talk among themselves. Of course, after the phone call conversation, Abraham.
All right. Just because you mentioned about the forces and they should be able to talk to their forces. And I'm asking you this last question, and you can send as well with your final remarks or message, is that last week we've heard from the SSPDF, a spokesperson who actually declared that they are already in war with the SPLA-IO in places like Maiwut or in Greater Upper Nile. Now, the president have a whole speech of that, of course, yesterday, but he did not mention about the cessation of hostilities, whether it's being respected or not, or fighting in these places. But he did mention, and of course, that was a question also that was asked to him. He did mention that he did not declare war with SPLA-IO or the SSPDF did not declare war with the SPLA-IO. That was from an individual, and he distanced himself from the statement of the spokesperson that came last week. On the issue of cessation of hostilities and the fighting that has been taking place, and your final message out then as we conclude this conversation.
Well, thank you very much, Sebik. I think one of the important things that we need to pay attention to is the need to take the country forward. And what are the nitty-gritties for taking the country forward? It's not one thing that will be decided today and left to propel itself. It requires effort. So the leadership of this country needs to put an effort. I found it very unfortunate that the spokesperson of SSPDF puts out that kind of statement, because then to us citizens, we were asking ourselves, we thought these people were together. We thought we are in transitional government of national unity. We thought we were in a process of reunification. And we thought the unified forces are going to be graduated soon. What again is coming up here? So it was confusing. And I think they should check their statements before they put it out, because they hold public positions. That was a bit unfortunate for me.
Thank you.
But my final remark is that I would appeal to the citizens of this country that if the leadership want to fight, let them fight among themselves. Let's not get into that, because my neighbor from a particular tribe has not done anything to me as a neighbor. When we go to market, we cannot afford food. It's all the making of the leaders, not the making of their tribe. Number two is that to the army, to be honest, they don't have to get into war right now, because they have gone fighting, they struggled in the bush, it's beaten by mosquitoes, they came back, they still don't have salary. Why should they go and fight again? Fighting does not solve problems. What if I was to ask to them, actually they should put the leaders to task and lock them in a room to decide for this country. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Lorna, for talking to us and being part of this conversation. Do appreciate your time. And Abraham, your final remarks and message.
Yeah, thank you very much. Let me say that my final message to the leadership of this country is that let them put dialogue as number one. This means that in case of anything, let them not cause insecurity, because we always say too much security is insecurity. And as a result of that, deploying of too much forces sometimes create panic, and that panic lead to propaganda, and propaganda lead to more propaganda, and that lead to war. And as a result of this, let's put dialogue first. Secondly, the leadership need to understand that they are the one in charge. And if they're the one in charge, what they said has got a great implications among citizens. So when the leaders utter something, then they should be able to know that that will be able to affect the life of different people across the country, even where the people are. Mm-hmm. And they need to hold other leaders responsible, especially the young leaders. Like that declaration of the war is not a work of the spokesperson. It's the work of the president. Even the first vice president cannot declare war. It is only the president that could be able to do that. And this kind of utterance need to be punished, okay, if there is possibility. And as a result of this, let me say now that let the leadership of the revitalized government of unity knows that they are at the verge of needing to sit down and discuss on how they exit in the next 9 months. And if they don't do that, then the legitimacy of the whole government will be in question. And this is where there will be a lot of issues. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Professor Abraham. Thank you, Lorna Merikaje, for being with us in the program. We really, really do appreciate your time on the insight of this. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, and Lorna was talking to us. Lorna is a civil society activist, and we have Professor Abraham Kwonyon with us also here this morning talking. And yes, as you heard that conversation, if you have a strong view on it, please don't hesitate to share your thought with us.